All right, everybody, welcome back to Bottled in China. Peter, thank you so much for joining us today. You're out in Napa Valley at the moment, so welcome to the episode.
Thank you, Emily. It's great to be here. And it's a lovely sunny day in Napa, mid-70s. And we've had a lot of rain this month, so I'm glad to have the sun come out once in a while.
So we've just introduced your intro and your bio. You have such an extensive background in the wine industry and education. I would like to ask you, as you are an MW, how has that shaped your perspective on wine?
A lot. Well, I would say first and foremost, it has certainly made me more humble. I went into learning about wine knowing a little bit, and the more you know, the more you realize you don't know. And I think it's just made me appreciate wine so much more, and being able to realize all the different styles and people who are involved in the industry has just made it just a wonderful experience. And I also like to say that, having passed the MW has taught me that wine can never truly be mastered, because there's always new regions coming on, there's new producers, new vintages every year. It's something that you can try to attempt to know everything, but seriously, you can't. So it's humbling. And then I think
Right.
it's also the other thing, it's helped open doors that would have never been opened for me otherwise. My job's places like wine.com and Copia and Constellation Brands, and now with the Napa Valley Wine Academy, is just those doors normally would not have been there if I didn't have some sort of credential. But I think the most satisfying aspect is really the opportunity to have met so many fascinating people and make amazing lifelong friends. When I was in college, I was a runner, track and cross country runner, and we were a team, and being part of the MW group is like a team, and you have people you can call upon and talk to all the time. They're always there for you.
Right, it's a fantastic network, and definitely there's so much work that goes into it, right? It's not a small task, so it really is something that's a journey in your life. It's actually quite fascinating, and I think from a lot of the NWs that I've met, you are so open-minded and so humble. So those are some great qualities that you definitely do have, and it's really fascinating that you embody those and you do still do a lot of education and do a lot of the, commitment to sharing wine knowledge across all different levels of people who are entering the market.
Thank
So
you.
I want to discuss a little bit about wine education because, of course, you're previous VP of Education for at Constellation, and today you're partner and VP at one of America's leading wine schools. So for you, what defines an excellent wine educator?
I think there's, I always like to answer things in threes. So there's three components that I think are very important. One is being knowledgeable, obviously. Secondly, you have to be a great communicator. And thirdly, you must be passionate. You need to be able to share your knowledge in a way that's memorable, and people are going to enjoy it. I also never put myself or forget to put myself in the shoes of the students, to never forget that you were once in their place. And obviously, don't talk over their heads, don't intimidate them. I'll never forget one of the very early wine courses I took. It was a wine tasting, and we were sampling Gewürztraminers from all over the world, and somebody sitting across the table from me was calling the grape Gewürztraminer, and I basically just shut up, because I thought, oh my gosh, I don't know how to pronounce this grape, and little things like that. But I was so intimidated, and I didn't want to say anything about the wines because I was afraid of mispronouncing it. I mean, just let everybody relax a little bit, and so having that make it enjoyable is definitely important. Make it fun.
And I do see that, of course, wine education is something that's is quite hot right now. And I think that there's a lot of educators in the wine space. Just to kind of dive into that question a little bit more. What do you think is the minimum learning? So, there is so much to go through in wine. You could be a winemaker, you could be in sales, you can be in marketing, but in terms of qualifications, do you feel that you should be at least minimum level 3 of WSET to start educating, or kind of what level would you say people should start to call themselves a wine educator?
Well, there's certainly a number of certificates that you can earn, Society of Wine Educators, the Court of Master Sommeliers, as well as the Wine and Spirit Education Trust. But I think it ultimately depends on what type of course you're going to teach. You know, if you're teaching in a Wine 101 or an Introduction to Wine course at the local, you know, community college or your community center, you might be knowledgeable enough with level 2 WSET, but I think level 3 probably would be a little bit better qualified. Similarly, you can be a certified specialist of wine and teach a lot of wine classes, or better yet, a certified wine educator with the Society of Wine Educators. I really believe it depends on what level you're intending to teach, but obviously more knowledge, the better you'll be.
Right, right. And what about right now? Because right now our landscape has changed dramatically in the last couple of months. So we're in a very different period. And I think a lot of unexpected change. So, you know, if you are an educator right now, what is something that you could do to motivate your team throughout COVID-19?
That's a good question. I think you need to obviously keep communicating with people. This has been, I think, the hardest for everyone, no matter what job you have, being able to keep in touch. I'm sure many of you are doing what I'm doing, which is having Zoom meetings all day long. And sometimes they're business meetings, but sometimes they're just social meetings and sharing a glass of wine with folks you normally would meet after work or on a weekend. But I think keeping motivated is important now to have fun. And what we do at work, one of the things we do every day, in fact, I'm missing it today, but this hour is when we go on Slack and we have a little joke telling time. And that's just a way for us to kind of just relax towards the end of the day and really enjoy a good laugh now and then, because we certainly need it. But I think, you know, having that and being in touch with people, over communicating right now is really important. And if you are an educator, obviously this is a great time to further your learning and knowledge. You can, you know, maybe you're not working as much, and so you have time to study certain regions or topics that you need a little bit more knowledge about. So I think that's another good opportunity if you're an educator to further yourself in that.
Mm-hmm. I just want to underline what you've mentioned, because yesterday we actually did a Zoom conference call about motivating women in our industry, which was actually quite interesting. And what she did is that she did group session breakouts. So in Zoom, you can actually divide groups and then they discuss something. And then after that, you come back and discuss your learnings and participation. So I think a lot of the time we think of online learning or anything like a Skype or Zoom call to be quite dry. But I think as an educator as well, you can develop different small groups and allow people to discuss even further, not just one person talking. You can really start to engage people. So I really do agree with you. And one thing that you mentioned as well is over, you know, communicating. And there is a sense that you can't do anything sometimes. But I just wanted to underline what you mentioned is this is a great time to connect with your team and to lead change and to involve people and get them together and celebrate something, right? Celebrate the small wins, because we do Indeed. Need something positive in these moments. You know, even for yourself, I love that. So can you just dive into that? You guys actually every Thursday have, or every Wednesday at 4 p.m. you end up having a joke telling contest, or what is it?
It's every day. Well, Monday through Friday, what? It's every day. Yeah, it's pretty fun. I'm missing it, all the fun today, but it's...
Oh, no.
Sometimes there are images, sometimes there are jokes. Some people put up a little video of themselves doing something silly. So it can run the gamut.
Oh, that's amazing. And I think that's so needed, because that's so positive, right? And I think positive psychology is so important when you're mm-hmm. going through these moments, and what you focus on grows, right? So if you're focusing on something negative all day, it doesn't help you at the end of the night to sleep well. Right. So that's actually really interesting. I never thought of that.
Yeah, and in a way, it's also motivating, because if you know you have a standing joke time every day at 4 o'clock, you've got to get your work done or whatever you're working on before then. So it helps in that regard.
Right. Well, I think there's a lot of pressure in general to know everything about wine, but now to add on a layer of understanding jokes and trying to tell jokes, that's a new category I've never dived into. So you guys are setting trends out there at Napa Valley Wine Academy. So I want to talk actually about what you guys are doing at the Napa Valley Wine Academy. Of course, this is one of the leading wine schools, and you guys have done so many different programs. For anybody who's not aware, can you tell us a little bit about how you guys are shifting to support long-distance learning during these moments?
Yeah, well, thank you for the kind words. I mean, I truly feel honored and lucky to be working there. It's a great atmosphere because of our, you know, team camaraderie we have, and we're all pulling for each other. But one of the best things that has come out of this is that we had already invested quite a bit in our robust online classroom, and we've been delivering online courses for the last several years, especially in not only just WSET, but in other areas as well. So we were fairly well set up, and we just made a quick shift to quickly migrate over entirely to the online environment, switch many of our in-person classes to the option of taking it online. The other thing we did was we were just launching a project that we've been working with a partner called these Master of the World Wine Kits. And they're bottled in 6 bottle kits, 187 bottles. And we're using these for our WSET level 2 and level 3 classes. So if you sign up for a level 2 class, you get a 6 bottle kit. And if you're signed up for level 3 class, you get a 12 bottle. You get 2 6 bottle kits that go along with the teaching and the online instruction. In other words, we're doing online tastings, virtual tastings with our students. And we also have 3 times a day, we offer so-called study hall broadcast on Facebook Live. We do it on Saturdays. Saturday is usually a little bit more fun kind of interview, but on Mondays and Wednesdays, we go a little bit more knowledgeable, in depth. In fact, today I actually did one, which was a couple of a blind tasting of 2 Rieslings, and gave listeners my tasting notes and showed them, you know, how I deconstructed the wine, and then have them guess, you know, which of these 4 regions is this wine from. And we actually had a Clare Valley Riesling and a Mosel Riesling from Germany, 2 different styles, but it was fun to get some questions and interact with them that way. And then, you know, beyond the WSET, we have 13 online courses right now that are up and running. Things like everything from Wine 101 to Oregon Wine Expert, the Business of Wine, which is something we're working with Tim and I, another Master of Wine. We have SOM courses with Tim Gazer, Master Sommelier. We've developed an American Wine Expert course, a Napa Valley Wine Expert course, and we're developing 6 more, which will be coming out in the next couple of months.
Oh, wow.
So we feel very, very, very lucky that we've had such a large base of online programming already. That was something we were able to expand upon very quickly.
Right, because I received an email one day from the Napa Valley Wine Academy with all your online programs, and it was fantastic. I mean, a lot of people, I think that when they do online, there's just 1 or 2 classes, but exactly as you mentioned, there was so much breadth and depth in the classes that you guys were offering. And I feel that it wasn't just WSET. You did offer so many specialized classes. So if you are looking to dive into more of the SOM side, or you want to be more, as you mentioned, the Oregon or Napa Valley expert, there are so many courses that are perfect. I want to talk about the wine kits that you mentioned, because that's always, yes, a question people get. They always think, right, well, I'm going to join a wine class. How do I, you know, how do I get my wine? And then the other question is that you mentioned that you provide a wine kit. So right, are these, because let's say in China, I know that Feng Yu Walker is working with a company in Qingdao that they bottle small little, I guess, wine samples, and then they ship out those wine samples. So how do we do that? Can you talk a little bit about how the wine is fresh, or how you guys actually, do you use a company, or do you guys do that in-house?
We've actually partnered with a master sommelier. I'm sure you've heard of him, Evan Goldstein, and his company, Full Circle Wine Solutions, has developed this kit, which they're using for teaching SOMs, but we've adapted our own kits for WSET classes. And these kits are called Master of the World, and there's a website you can go there and see what these kits are like. You can buy those kits for other purposes, but our WSET kits come with our online classes. And what we've done is we didn't increase our costs of the classes. We just went ahead and offered these. We've realized that a lot of students now are just, you know, financially not as secure as they were just a few months ago. So we're trying to make it more adaptable and easy for them to participate. And what they do is we actually taste wines, and I attended one of Evan's tasting where we go through a whole systematic grid. They use the Master Somm grid. And if you purchase one of those kits that is from their website, you get a whole slew of information. You can go online and see what the masters tasted and how they identified the wines. But in our classes, what we're doing is we're taking our own set of wines and using that with our individual WCT instructors from the Napa Valley Wine Academy. And they've got to set it up with a state-of-the-art bottling plant where they take the wines. First of all, they test them to see if there's any cork taint or anything that's off before those wines are then rebottled into 187s. They're sparged, and all the samples I've had so far have been fantastic. And they are 187 little screw cap bottles that we are using.
And that's honestly fantastic, because that's always the question I get when everybody is looking for online training is, well, what about the wine? Because wine, of course, it's sensory. It's not something that we can just talk about on a Skype meeting and that's all, right? It makes it quite dry. Right. So you definitely do need to be able to taste and describe it. So that's really fantastic that you're offering this. So if anybody is interested around the world, how can they still join your trainings online and get the wine samples?
Well, at this point, the Master of the Wine kits are only available in the U.S. And I must say, not every state is available. If you go to their website, it can indicate if your state is eligible for shipping. I think there's about 6 states that currently are not states we can ship to. But eventually, maybe they will expand that and even go internationally. But they have just started this. I mean, this is something that just came out in the last month or two. So that is in the early stages, and we were just so lucky that we'd been approached by Evan and his team last year, and are the first sort of guinea pigs to be utilizing their kits for our classes that we're doing. Mm-hmm. Also, I could mention that we've done one other type of kit, which is another partnership with wine.com, and this is for our WCT level 1 classes. And that was because we didn't develop a kit for that particular course, but we wanted to have a tasting along with our level 1 classes. And we went through wine.com, and they've been fantastic to set up shipping to all the various students around the country. And again, it was a service we did without increasing the cost of the course itself. We just realized we need to help our students, and we've absorbed that extra cost. But they, in that case, they're getting full 750 ml bottles, which is pretty nice.
Oh, yeah.
It's like Christmas.
So there's a there's a benefit to study, right?
Yes, exactly.
That's really fascinating. So we'll definitely put the information up if you're interested to join the classes and of course learn more about the programs that you guys offer. The other thing I wanted to discuss is that, how can you study from home? So for example, some people work really well from home, but I would say most of us don't probably use our time efficiently when we're working in the comfort of our pajamas. So if you have undertaken any classes online right now, what are some tips that you would give to students on how they can better their study during this moment?
Right. It's certainly is a challenge. I mean, even getting work done at home can be quite difficult these days. But I think a couple of things. One, I think you need to make it part of your routine. Make a certain time of day, go to the same place, make it a routine so that you there's a sort of a study I've read over the years where if you do something 20 times, it becomes a routine, whether that's, eating right or exercising, or in this case, studying. So make it a routine. And then make sure you're carving away a place away from any other distractions. Most importantly, turn off social media. It's really hard these days to not be distracted by the news, but I like to think that you should pretend you're at the library. And one of the things that's helped me, even just in my work and what I'm doing, is to, first of all, act and dress appropriately. When I get up in the morning, I take a shower, I shave, I get dressed like I would if I was going to work. Don't get into that trap of doing it in your pajamas, because if you don't shower and clean up and get dressed, you're going to look like you're kind of lazy and out of sorts. So act how you want to feel, and I think that will help you and be more focused in your studies. And then last but not least, what's really good is to take shorter study segments. And that means, you know, maybe you're used to taking an hour and reading a chapter or you know, investigating something online. Make it maybe 20 or 30 minutes, because if you do that, you'll stay fresh. Also take more frequent breaks in between those study segments. And this will also allow you to attend to any interruptions that might take place. You know, if you've got a dog barking or a delivery man or, you know, a toilet that backs up, if you're only doing a 20 or 30 minutes, by the way, I've had all of those things happen to me in the last week. but if you have something distract you, if you're only planning to do a 20 minute study segment, you're not going to get so far off track if you have to interrupt yourself and go back to whatever it was you're doing.
That's fantastic. Those are some really great tips. And I think I really like the one where you just get dressed and that's how you're going to feel, because that is so true. You know, you do have a tendency to carry yourself slightly differently when you are dressed differently. Another thing I just want to let everybody know, because I found this tip super useful, and it's actually an app. It's called Anki. Have you ever heard of that one? Anki. No. A-N-K-I. I would really recommend this for anybody who's studying. They're basically flashcards. I do believe you need to pay $25 a year, or I guess a one-time fee. But it's a lot of people that are going in law or even studying medicine, they've all used it and they really swear by it. And I'm using this for my MW studies, and it's they're flashcards, but they kind of switch it up based on your retention. So it's really science-based, I guess, the way that they give you the questions. And I would strongly recommend that as well, because when you are doing reviews for any of the classes that you are taking, whenever you review them, you always usually go for the easy ones first, but this one really tests your knowledge on a more, I guess, on the ones that you're typically not good at. So I'm also going to put that in the show notes, so anybody who is learning can also benefit from that. Great.
That's a great suggestion. I'm going to check that out too. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll send it over.
Oh, good.
Now, I want to talk about a little bit about the different programs and how wine education is being shaped in different markets, especially US, because you are based there. So if we look at different programs, especially the WSET, we see a lot of growth in the US, even in Asia as well. But what do you believe is the underlying reason why people are getting more into certifications and getting more into wine? Do you see that? And what's your feeling on these growth numbers?
Well, I definitely see that. And, you know, I think it comes with the maturation of the wine industry. I remember when I first started wine, which was a long time ago, and wine, you know, nobody took wine seriously, and we didn't have a wine culture like we do now. And I took a class at a local, you know, a community center in the local town I lived in. And that was basically all that was available. And nowadays you have these, you know, WSET providers, you've got universities offering hospitality as well as wine education, Culinary Institute of America, WSET, Society of Wine Educators, Cordis Master Somm, all of those things. And I think with the professionalism that we now have almost mandated in the wine industry, you need to have some sort of certification to back that up. It's just like if you're going to, you know, be a lawyer, you've got to go to law school and further your studies beyond just a four-year degree. Therefore, I think the growth of the industry has mandated that we have more professionals and people who can be successful and understand the wide world of wine from all aspects, which is why I think you're on the right track with the Master of Wine, because that is a degree that will allow you to perform well in whatever you decide to do. It's something that, you know, we've talk about excellence and interaction and learning across all sectors of a global community. But that could be another certification besides MW, but I'm just using that as a great example of how important it is to be able to show that you have achieved something. And, you know, not only just having the knowledge, and I don't think everybody has to be an MS or an MW to be successful, but I think expanding your knowledge is going to, as I've said earlier, it's going to help you network and build relationships, which can only help in a wine career, because it is a people business when you get right down to it. Also, the more you learn, I think you will learn more about yourself. You know, you may start off thinking that, you know, I want to be a wine educator, but then maybe you get enough knowledge, you become a winemaker. And a great example is that look at how many master sommeliers who've left the floor and gone on to open their own winery. That's Greg mm-hmm. Harrington and Larry Stone, just to name a couple, that people who've decided, I want to do something else because I've got the knowledge and the know-how and I've got the connections to be able to do that.
Actually, also discussing how people are getting more into certifications of wine. I know in China, we, in the last 2 months, so during COVID, there was a 60% increase on people watching live streams. And that's, of course, mm-hmm. because people are more at home, and then they've really extended the amount of time that they were putting into live streams as well. Do you see a lot of growth on your online wine studies during this moment? Yes. Or are people not in? Okay.
It is way up. Yeah. And I'm sorry, I don't have the exact numbers, but we've become, even what we thought we were going to see has been exceeded. Our expectations have been exceeded by the number of online. Now we think it might start to taper off pretty soon, mm-hmm. especially if they begin to ease the shelter at home restrictions, but it's so far so good.
Wow. Fascinating. Great news. Congratulations then. You guys were prepared for this one.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Good. And of course, what is the future of wine education?
Wow. That's a great question. I think, as I said just now, I think it's going to entail more professionalism, more and better qualified students, as well as teachers. And I think, the excellence is something that is going to be very important, higher standards across the board. And I think this will, more education will allow people to have more opportunities. And I can only tell you from my experience at Constellation how we saw the increase in many of our customers who demanded education from us. And I'm not just talking about our own employees at Constellation, but, people at our wineries, our wholesale partners, our customers, whether they're retail hospitality people or restaurants, those demands for education have been growing almost exponentially. And I think a better educated wine community is going to raise the bar for everybody and make it, when you're experiencing wine, it'll be more enjoyable for the customers that we serve. But I also think it's going to involve online, to be honest. I think this pandemic, if nothing else, is a game changer in how we see things. And one of the things, if you want to obtain some sort of wine certification or take a wine education course, you definitely want to have the best and most qualified teachers. You want to have courses that are going to support you while you're learning. And you may have to search far and wide for that. It may not be, locally where you can drive to. And that's where online education comes into play. I think that is something that will help people to find out what they need if it's not in their nearby community. And I guess last but not least, you talk about the future wine education. I talked about it being fun, but I think, and it's, we're seeing this now, we do a lot more experiences, if you will, immersive courses where we take people we have a 5-day boot camp in Napa Valley, for example, being able to not just taste and learn about wine, but to meet and see the people behind the scenes and to be able to see the vineyards and smell the air and, go up the mountain and see how the temperature changes. All those things are ways that people can learn about wine rather than just in a classroom. So I think having experiences as well as the online classroom is going to be really important, a balance of the two.
Right. Oh, definitely. And I see that, a lot of people in the wine education space are now finally realizing the importance of online training. And it was something I think that we all knew was bound to happen, but never really took too much action. So, as Crazy Feng, who is who owns a winery in China, in Ningxia, as she says, within all this chaos, there's always opportunity, right? And I think once we look at it that way, we can look at COVID and say, well, what are our learnings? And I think this really is important for everybody listening to identify what are some things that you can leverage from all this, I guess chaos. And I think that you guys have really raised the bar when it comes to wine education and being and finding solutions to providing the wine and finding solutions to make it more interactive. So that's been really fascinating. Well, to wrap up, what we usually do is I ask you three quick questions and you have to answer them as fast as possible.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't tell you that in advance, but we always do that. my My first one is, of course, you know, you're based out in California. What is one of your, I guess, go-to wine regions within California that you would strongly suggest for everyone to go and taste from?
Well, hopefully nobody from Napa is listening right now, but I will say the Anderson Valley in Mendocino.
Mm.
And you don't want to know why?
That would be your go-to. Go for it.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I mean, it's pristine. It's not crowded. There are so many small family-owned wineries. There's some larger ones too, but most of them are small family-owned. And I'm a lover of wines made from Riesling, Gewurztraminer, Pinot Noir, and that's what you find up there. And then, of course, mm-hmm. you're not far from the coast. You can go to the town of Mendocino, and there's a number of beautiful bed and breakfast locations and great restaurants that you can make a visit, a real enjoyable time.
Wow, fantastic. When it comes to the wine scene, what could be the next big trend? I know we kind of just dipped into orange wines and Pinot Nat, but you know, what could be the future trend for wine?
I'm not sure if it's already a trend or not, but it's something I've always been a true lover of is Grenache-based wines. And in a way, Gamay is sort of in that same realm because they're lighter, easier drinking red wines. And I especially like them because they can be chilled. And I know a lot of people now, even novices, know that a chill on a red wine is something that tastes really good. It's not, I often put ice cubes in it if I have to, but I think those lighter, fresher, easy drinking reds are going to become more popular. I think a trend also is you're going to see more sparkling wines from more parts of the world because the way that consumers are now enjoying sparkling wine, and hopefully we'll have something to celebrate in the not too distant future. I think exploring new areas where we can make great sparkling wines is something that I think will come to play in the years to come.
And of course, my last question is, how can we get in touch with you? How can we go find out more about the Napa Valley Wine Academy and search up the classes?
Thank you for asking. The easiest way is, you have to get out a piece of paper, but our website is www.NapaValleyWineAcademy. So all one word, NapaValleyWineAcademy.com. And they can reach me through, the easiest way is I'm on LinkedIn. You can send me a message there if you want to get in touch with me directly. Or also if you go to the MW site, you can send me a note through there and I'll respond to you. If not through, through the Napa Valley Wine Academy. If you happen to take a class, you'll get my contact information.
Perfect. Well, for everybody listening, we are going to put the information in the show notes so you can go take a look and click on the link that's going to be there. But in the meantime, Peter, thank you so much for your time. It's so excellent to see that you guys offer so many courses. So for anybody who is interested in allowing growth and want to really go and learn more about wine, I think this is an excellent opportunity. So go ahead and check out the Napa Valley Wine Academy. Thanks so much, Peter, for your time.
Thank you, Emily, and hope you're well, and great to talk with you. And more importantly, good luck with your MW studies.
Thank you.